Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
sweet memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this evening. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward because, Father, this study all belongs to you. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to help us to grow, Father, to grow in faith, to grow in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and with you. And most especially, Father, that we walk in obedience to thy word. Now, Father, grant this, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, that's chapter 4. This morning, we studied about being born again and what it means and how baptism changed, and not from just from what it does. Now we're going in to chapter 4 here. And we're going to find out a few more things that most don't know, even those that read the Bible, because they don't really get the understanding. I'm not saying everybody don't. I'm just saying most don't, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't get the truth and the understanding, the revelation that we should be getting from the word of Almighty God. All right. Chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. And you see, They want to do anything to stir up trouble. They're claiming now that they heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Two, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. That's all he baptized was his 12 disciples. Three, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, and he must needs go to Samaria. Now, going through Samaria, you know, that's a route taken by strict Jews from Jerusalem to Galilee, was toward Jericho, across the Jordan River, to the east side, north through Berea, bypassing the hated Samaritans, and finally recrossing the Jordan into Galilee. You see, they would go nowhere around the Samaritans. And the reason for that is where there in Samaria, the Jews had married into families, Gentiles. And they really became more hated than the Gentiles, than the pure Gentile did. They wanted nothing to do with them. But you see, even that is about to change. Now, five. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar. Now, Sychar was the Old Testament Shechem. At one time, that was its name, Shechem. But then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Six. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being worried with his journey, set thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So we know that he's tired from all of his traveling now, and he's going to sit down to rest. And he's thirsty, naturally. Seven. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Oh, you see, that's a no-no, because Jesus is a Jew. And those that know and would see and find out about this, not going to like it at all. Eight. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Nine. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. She letting him know that she knows about it. 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, he's talking to her in a way that she really don't have no understanding, because he's telling her about giving her living water, which is his way of telling her that he would give her even the Holy Spirit. Now, because that in the New Testament, that's the way quite a few times the Holy Spirit is described. 11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From which then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, talking to her more or less parable-wise here, 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. If she don't like drawing that water, coming and getting that water, then she's still thinking he's talking about real water. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. 18. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saith thou truly. You see, he knew all about her. He knows all about her. 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And at this time it was. 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. You see, we have to walk in and with the Spirit. We live and dwell in Jesus, and Jesus dwells in us. We also dwell in the Spirit and the Spirit in us. We have all of the power of heaven within us. This is why that we can do whatever God will call upon us to do. Because it is his way by his will and by his power that things are done. It doesn't, that's not of us. It just comes through us as he will work through us. That's why we have to be completely dedicated to him to become that living being that he can use. The eyes, the ears, the mouth, the hands, the feet, that he can use to do the work that is still to be done here on the earth until he comes for the church. And we do have a lot of work yet to be accomplished before the Lord actually does come for the church. But it's getting closer and closer all the time. We don't know when, but we do know that it's close. And he told us we would. Those that belong to him know that things are getting close and coming to a time of the end. That's why we need to really be ready to meet him. They are those of us that are up in years, that if he don't come real soon, we will be stepping out of this life into the next to go individually to meet him. Now, 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. But listen to Jesus' answer to her. Here in 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now there's a lot of them that wants to question him to get him to tell them who he is, and he won't do it. But you see, they are those that he chooses, that he does identify himself, just like he did to her, and her, a Samaritan woman. 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. They marveled that he was even talking to them. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. 29. Come see a man which told me all things than ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now this Samaritan woman is now proclaiming him as Christ. 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. 31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Well, they're not going to get this either. 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, has any man brought him aught to eat? 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And that's exactly what you and I are to do if we are his child. We are to finish the work that he has called you and I to do. And I'm talking to those that are born again children of God out there that may not know what work he has called you for. So start fasting and praying and asking him to let you know, and he will. Because you see, a Sunday school teacher should be called of him to be that Sunday school teacher. A deacon is just like your pastor. He should be called to be that deacon. Pastor should be a called man of God, called by the Lord to be into the ministry and doing the ministry that God gives him. Now, and a lot of times God will move us. He'll move us from doing one thing to another thing, but then he'll also move us from place to place. I know I can tell you, because he has done it all with and to me. Now, a lot of it we don't understand. But he's just told us here that, and we are to be just as he is, to do the work of the one that calls us and sends us to do that work, whatever it is. Now, 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In other words, God's field is ready to be harvested. 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Are you rejoicing with the Lord God? And are you rejoicing about the work that he has given you and the things that you are doing for him? And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Remember that verse. Now, 37. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. 38. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye were entered into their labors. 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. And we know he did. He told her just how many husbands she had, and the one she's with right now wasn't her husband. And she's telling everybody because she couldn't get over that. Because she didn't know him. He hadn't met her before. She thought. But you see, he did know. Now, 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry, and he abode there 2 days. He stayed with them 2 days. 41. And many more believed because of his own word. 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And these are Samaritans that the Jewish nation hates. But you see, Jesus didn't hate them. Now, 43. Now after 2 days, he departed thence and went to Galilee, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. You wonder why, when your life changed, why parts of your family and your friends was against you? Well, you see, he tells you right there. When you change your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to lose family and you're going to lose friends that's going to turn against you. Now, 45. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. 46. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Now, you see, evidently the physicians couldn't take care of him. They did have doctors, physicians back in. We know that because Luke was one of them. Now, 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, but the nobleman here in 49, the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. 50. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now, you see what faith will do. Jesus is not even going to go, because distance doesn't mean anything when it comes to the working of the power of Almighty God. Now, Jesus spoke it and told him that his son lived. And the man believed what Jesus said and went his way. 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. 52. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Not only just him, but his whole house now had become believers. 54. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. And we have just finished. Now, we're not going to get into chapter 5 because it is another lengthy chapter. There's 47 verses to it, and quite a bit to cover. A lot of things going on within it. You see, John things about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the things that he said and done, that a lot of it is not in even the other Gospels. That's like chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again. You see, it's there in John, but you don't find it in the other Gospels. Now, John was always by the Lord's side. Always. Now, God willing, our next time, we will be in this chapter 5. Won't be long until we will be through these four Gospels again. And then we will be back to dividing the week between the Old and the New Testament. But it's not going to be too much longer until we have been through the whole Bible. All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we close your word, Father, we do thank you for this word. We thank you, Father, that it's been kept for us down through all these years so it could feed us, Father, that we could feast on your word, that we could learn how to walk according to thy word upon the pathway of righteousness, filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, to give us strength, to give us truth, to build our faith, so that we can be laborers working in your field of harvest, Father, to bring in those that are walking in darkness, but that are ready to be reached and brought out of darkness and into the light, and that light being Jesus. We pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray, Father, for them all to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as the Messiah. Now, Father, this land of ours, filled with evil, and it seems, Father, that we're receiving more evil each and every day. And we know, Father, that we are losing churches almost daily, being closed, not being used or used for other things. Have one, Father, that's being used for parties. Not good parties, but parties. Another one that is being used as a fitness place with equipment. For a lady to work out in. So much going on, Father, to where they don't want to see the churches open anymore. It's a sad, sad thing in an evil way. And our government knows that are evil in our government that has brought most of this about. We are praying for all of the leadership that is evil to be removed from their offices and to be replaced, Father, by those that are your children, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, and loves this country. And will work with us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, as we come to a close here, I pray, Father, that all that are listening to this and all that are a part of it, Father, can rest through the night, wake in the morning refreshed, in health and in safety, walking close with the Lord, and in obedience unto your word and keeping with the Holy Spirit the things that we need, Father, of the Spirit, to be your child, to do your work. Now, Father, watch over us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great, great night. And remember, I've got all of you in my prayers. May God bless you this night. Bye-bye now.